Indeed, indeed. Randomness. We're going to take your phone calls this hour with our floating format with Leonard Mlodinow, our special guest, the author of The Drunkard's Walk. Here we go with some phone calls this hour. Leonard, your career has been kind of a random walk itself, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Maybe that's why I wrote the book.
Do all scientists think more this way, the way you do? Randomness, as opposed to the way I come from, and that's, you know, fate and everything else.
I would say that's true. The majority would think the way I do.
Not that you're wrong, but I think I may be right.
I hope you think that you're right. Otherwise, there's something wrong with your thinking.
We have to do that. We're going to take some calls here. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to West of the Rockies, Mike, San Jose, California, where I will be in about 2 months at a speech. You're on the air. Hi, Mike.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
Leonard, I have a question. If I'm given a waveform that contains both Brownian motion and systematic components in there, is there a way I could build like a 1 over F squared filter to remove the Brownian motion noise?
I don't know. I think that would be something to email. I would have to think about.
Okay. Is there a convenient way where I could get your email?
Go to my website. Can I give my website?
Oh, absolutely.
It's www.its.caltech.edu/little squiggle.
I made it easy, Leonard, for everybody. We got a link at coasttocoastam.com.
You got a link there. Or you go to Google. If you Google me, you'll be able to find it.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and I'll do that. Have a good evening.
Okay, sure thing. Let's go east of the Rockies. Let's go to you, Ed, in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hey, Ed.
Hey. Hi, Leonard. Hey. Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
I got to find a little bit of humor in the fact that I don't think I'm as big a Star Trek fan as I thought I was, because I had no idea that you were for that. But I just wanted to call in and say that, you know, I actually have your book. I was given the book as a Christmas present from my brother, and it's not any disrespect to you, but it was almost kind of like a gift just because of the title, and I've never read it, but listening to this program, I'm going to actually have to sit down and read it, because I find your program tonight to be very interesting, and it's just in everyday life, you know, I'm not a believer in divine intervention of any kind. The scientific end of it is more than what I do believe. I find what you talk about very interesting, and I'm going to have to actually sit down and read your book now, because I do have it.
Well, I hope so, and enjoy it.
Yeah, I think I will. I mean, so I'm just sitting here listening to you. I'm a sporting goods wholesaler, and I'm also a amateur competition shooter, which is all about removing chance and removing variables and actually being extremely anal about everything that you do in the aspect of the sport. The only variable you really can't control is temperature and weather and wind and things like that. So it's intriguing to me. I'm going to have to really sit down and pick it apart. It's going to be a lot of fun to read, I think.
Oh, good. I hope so.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call, George.
All right. Absolutely. Next up, it's Rod in San Diego on Coast to Coast with us. Hi, Rod.
Hi. How you doing? Hey, great, great conversation. And I'll probably look into this book before you guys even brought up Einstein. I was already reminded of a quote, kind of a dual quote between Einstein and Niels Bohr. I wonder if your guest is familiar with it.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, Einstein was not comfortable with the randomness inherent in quantum physics. You know, it's all about probabilities of states. It's not. There's nothing deterministic about it. And he screamed at Niels Bohr during a debate one day. He said, "God does not play dice with the universe." And Niels Bohr just said, "Albert, stop telling God what to do."
Right, I've heard that before.
I love that.
Can I tell you another Niels Bohr story that I really like?
Sure.
Niels Bohr had a horseshoe hanging over the door of his office for good luck. And even though he believed in, of course, in quantum theory, which is non-deterministic, he's not supposed to believe in luck, right? He's supposed to believe in physics. So someone said to him, "Hey, how could you have a horseshoe hanging, you know, a sign of good luck hanging up over your door, and you're a scientist?" And he says, "Yeah, that's true, but you know what? I've heard that you don't have to believe in it for it to work."
You know, when you did this work on the randomness, mathematics, of course, plays a huge part in all of this, in probability as well. I guess, you know, there's no question about improbability occurring in some cases. Does it hold up all the time, though? You know, we were talking about the coin flip, 50-50. How many times, theoretically, do you have to flip it to get that 50-50? Two times or 1,000 times? I mean, does there come a point where it will be accurate and hit that 50-50 mark?
Well, there's no point where you can guarantee that it will, but the more times you flip it, the greater the probability is that it will come close to that 50-50 mark. So it's all a matter of how close you want to be and how certain, you know, how confident you want to be that you'll get that close. And that's what you really have to weigh. That's why I was saying that in a sports championship, for instance, if you wanted to be 95% sure that the better team would win when one was 55-45, you have to do 269 games. If you wanted to be, in that case, if you wanted to be 75% sure instead of 95% sure, you only needed 45 games. So it's all a matter of how sure that how close you want to be to the actual probability that's underlying and how certain you want to be that you're going to get there.
How does Vegas get its odds for things? Do they have scientists there who work on randomness, for example?
When you say for things, do you mean for sports betting?
Sports betting.
Electronic gaming? Or
I guess all of it, because all of it is percents and probability.
Yeah, I'm sure they do have mathematicians working on that. I mean, nowadays the one-armed bandits are electronic, and they're, you know, very elaborately designed and randomized and, you know, I guess controlled by the state as well in terms of how often they have to hit. The betting systems are also done in a very actually very complex way to balance the bets on both sides, right? Because they don't want to have a lopsided betting on one side where they might lose if one team wins or one team loses. They want it to be pretty much even on both sides. So I'm sure they have a lot of experts in that, you know, figuring all that out.
Let's go to Sam in Thousand Oaks, California. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
Great show. I love it. You mentioned earlier about you had an experience where you, stopped at that green light.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you, of all my years of driving, I'm 46 years old. I've had three experiences. Two were similar to yours, but the latest one I had was probably about a month ago, and this one really made me believe there's something that kind of upsets the randomness. There is something that goes on like you're talking about. And let me give you the story here. I was going down the 101, and I'm normally driving. Hopefully the police aren't listening, 75 when available, of course. And for some reason, I started slowing down. And there was a truck, pretty big truck in front of me was, looked like it was collecting, you can kind of see through the gates, probably, recycled goods, a lot of metals in there. But I didn't realize that until what I'm about to tell you. So I'm slowing down. I'm going, what am I doing? I'm going 60 miles an hour. Now, I'm like, well, what am I doing? So I started, getting ready to gas it up, because cars are past me and, my music's playing, everything's normal, but I slowed down. As soon as I was hitting that gas, this huge piece of metal comes flying out of that truck. If I would have been going the 75, I would have probably been right where that piece of metal flew out of that truck and hit the highway. Luckily, I wasn't there, and I was able to quickly swerve out of the way, and it would have taken me out. It was scary. And after that happened, I'm like going, that is the weirdest thing because, I've been driving for years. I never slow down. It was almost like subconscious that I did that. I didn't really do it on purpose. I just kind of just did it. And when that happened, I was blown away, and it just made me think. And I'm like, now, why did that happen? Why did I do that? I never do that. And it, like I said, I saw this huge piece of metal fly out, hit the pavement, and I just swerved to miss it because it was bouncing around. And if I would have been going my original speed, I think it would have, could have went right through the windshield. It was a real scary situation.
Do you really never slow down? Because when I'm going 75 on the 101, and sometimes I'm not paying attention, depending on traffic, I find myself suddenly I'm down to 60 or 65 or up to 90, and I got to, oh, I better correct this. And
yeah.
You know, 90 is only, of course, after midnight when there's no one else on the
right, right.
You go 90 on the 101. But I mean, you know, your speed does, I think, fluctuate.
It does, but it's just so bizarre that there was no reason for me to slow down. It was like it was wide open. The whole lane was open in front of me. That there was no cars in front of me, thank God, because they would have been hit by it. It was really weird. To me, I still think about it today going, you know, that was just so weird that I did that at the right time. Where, I mean, yeah, it just could have been like I just decided to slow down for some reason, and I don't know why, because, you know, this is California, man. Everybody's in a hurry around here.
Yeah, really. And I think I saw you buzz by me, Sam.
That's right. So don't look.
Because you only go 55, right?
Yeah, exactly. All the time, Leonard. All the time. Okay. Well.
Anyways, you guys take care. And nice talking,
Sam,
to you, George.
Thanks. Leonard, you would call this random.
Well, I would call it a coincidence, and I do think that you do a lot of that sort of thing every day that you never think twice about and forget about, and that, you know, the time that something happens, that's when you remember it and think, you know, and you think about it, and there are many opportunities every day for those things to happen. They just don't happen, and when they do, you remember them.
So if I was in one of your classes, and I would say, Professor, I don't believe in randomness, and I believe in fate, no, would you fail me, I guess?
Oh, no. I mean, hey, if you're taking my class on probability and statistics and you get the answers right to the homework and the test, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care if, you know, if you believe that, you know, your answers were biblically inspired and fate made you write it down. It's fine as long as you know how to solve the problems.
All right, let me ask you the age-old
question.
Can I
say one other thing about this? This reminds me of jinxes in sports. You know how many jinxes there are where
Like the curse of the Red Sox and the
Cubs,
well,
okay,
and
that,
like
of
that.
Course, people, I think, don't take that seriously. But
oh, they do? Are you kidding me? Go up
well,
to Chicago.
Some do, yeah. but you know, I know that when the sportscaster's talking and he goes, you know, oh, Joe Schmo, you know, there's a fly ball. He never drops it. So it was, anything's good as over, you know, and then you go, then the guy drops it. Why did he say that? He jinxed him, right? Don't you? I mean, those jinxes come up a lot. You're not supposed to, or you're having a throwing a no hitter. You're not supposed to mention it, right?
Wait a minute. Are you telling me you believe in jinxes?
No. I'm going to tell you why people believe in jinxes, though.
Okay.
Because what happens is the guy will say he hits a fly ball. Oh, Joe never drops it, so it's good as dead now. And Joe catches it. You never think twice about it, right? So the announcer said that. You don't think it. You just move on. You forget it. It's really not important. The one time where he says it and the guy drops it, you go, he jinxed him. You remember that. You go, see, he said he wasn't going to drop it, and he dropped it. He made him drop it. And so you that's how jinxes arise.
Okay. It's
because you give a selective memory. It's called the availability bias. But things that are more vivid in your memory, when you look back and think out and you're assessing the past as you do when you want to make sense of it in a probabilistic sense, now, when you look back and you're assessing the past, the things that stick out the most in your mind, you give them more weight and you give them more importance.
What about the curse of the Red Sox when they traded Babe Ruth? They never won the World Series.
Yeah,
then they finally won in the course.
Yeah, and there's also teams that don't win very much on Tuesdays. And you can always, you know, hey, I'm a Cubs fan, so we have the GOAT, right?
Yeah, and, got the GOAT. That's right.
But I think the exercise, and we still haven't won.
All right, let me ask you this question then. The universe. Are you telling me that the fact that all of this works, that there's reasons for everything, that it's all random? The fact that we are where we are and that things work and that the moon is where it's supposed to be. I mean, it's just too hard to believe that all of this is random.
Well, okay, first of all, I am not in this book saying that all of that is random. You know, the moon travels around the Earth as it does because of the law of gravitation. And
but it must be where it is, or we'd be up a creek.
Well, or you could turn it around and say if there was another universe besides ours where it isn't the way it is and we're up a creek, then we're not there to say, hey, we're up a creek, because we're up such a creek we don't exist. So the fact that we exist means that, you know, we shouldn't be surprised when we look around and say, hey, the laws of physics are such that humans can exist. Given that we do exist, it shouldn't surprise us that those laws are like that, because they couldn't be any other way.
Hmm.
If they were, we wouldn't be here to ask the questions.
When the Big Bang occurred, which I believe was, I don't know, I got to tell you, I don't know what it is and why it is. Do you?
I don't think anybody does.
It is bizarre.
Mm.
I go nuts sometimes trying to figure it out.
Well, it is bizarre, and of course, you know, physicists are trying to investigate more and more about it, and the space-based satellites that can detect radiation from the early universe are helping, but nobody really knows.
I mean, are you saying that our existence, the fact that we're here, that's random too?
Well, now you're getting into the new book that I'm writing with Stephen Hawking. So that we haven't finished yet. The Drucker's Walk talks about everyday life and really that, you know, talks about how you can try to separate. It's not saying that everything is random, but how you can try and separate what is random from what is not, and how you can avoid certain common misconceptions. Now, the question of the origin of the universe is a different question that we're addressing in the book.
When's that book?
Called The Grand Design. Well, it's scheduled to come out now in 2009, and we'll see if we finish it in time.
Okay.
But that will deal with that issue.
Is he, could you ask him to see if he'd want to come on this radio show for a moment? You know, I know his situation, obviously, but I still think, you know, it would work. You know, we could clearly understand him.
Ask him.
How would he hold a phone up to himself, or can somebody do that?
Well, he can't really take questions in real time. You know, he has to have the questions in advance.
It takes him so long to
answer the questions that no one would want to, sit on the phone and wait for him to compose.
True. I mean, would he be able to hear me in real time if I said, you know, good evening, Professor?
Yeah, of course he could hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, his method for, you know, typing out the answers takes quite a long time, and you wouldn't want to sit and wait for him to do that.
No, that's true too. That's true too. But ask him.
Okay.
What a mind, huh?
I can email you.
Yes. Let's take some more calls. Mark in Everett, Washington, you're on the air with us. Hi there, Mark.
Hi, good evening, George.
Sure thing.
Nice to talk to you. Hey, I want to talk about the random versus fate thing, but first, real quick, quick point about sports. I'm a huge sports fan, and it's definitely not all about who's the best team, because if it was, it would be pretty boring. It'd be what the national college championship is, basically.
Oh, absolutely. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, hoping for the upset, you know, where it usually won't happen, but just the hope that it does makes it exciting. And when it finally does once in a while, like I'll never forget 85 when Villanova beat Georgetown, you know, just amazing. So makes it worthwhile. So to me, it's about, about not knowing what's going to happen, which makes it exciting. But
I want to
go to random versus fate. I don't really think it's a random or fate thing. It's a combination of both. And I really believe what it is, it's, you can be proactive and reactive. And those two things are really what's going to make about 90% of what happens. For instance, if I go outside and I choose to get in my car and randomly someone pulls up to me and he's got some road rage and he's flipping me off, well, the way I react to it could mark my whole destiny.
Sure.
If I react to him, I might get shot and I'm done. I might just give him an apologetic look and then he might drive off and look for somebody else. So I think it's reactions are really, really what's most important. And also if you're prepared, you know, and you go out and you look for opportunities, you know, they're always out there. And, of course, it's like a numbers game. So the more preparation you have, the more you believe in yourself. It's, you don't have to be super intelligent. Of course, it's random, but it's also about preparation and being open-minded.
Well, that's so true, Mark. You got to be ready. We'll be back. We'll take final calls for our guest, Leonard Mlodinow, and then next hour, open lines. We're going to take final calls with our special guest tonight, Leonard Mlodinow, and then next hour I've got open lines with our floating format. And I do want to talk with you about intuition. That'll be one of the things that we'll talk about next hour. Leonard, you see, we shouldn't trust the performance of political polls. Tell me about that, your thoughts behind that.
Well, I wasn't saying that you shouldn't trust them. I'm saying that you have to know how far you can trust them, and they all have margins of error. And sometimes they will be outside those margins as well. So you have to, if a poll says that one candidate is ahead of another one by 2 points and the margin of error is 4 points, then it's really meaningless.
Right. Well, what if the poll says someone's ahead by 30 points, the margin of error is 5 points, and the other person ends up winning? And let's say it's a great pollster, that they're pretty accurate most of the time. Do you conclude that there's been some hanky-panky?
Well, there can be systematic reasons for polls to be wrong. I mean, polls are not quite done as simply as we might think, where you just pick a certain sample of people and you ask them questions. There are people, they try to match them by ethnicity and income and various other factors. They have to take into account the biases according to who's actually going to agree to the poll, who's going to answer the phone and talk to them. And they try to correct and match the demographics. And it can be pretty complicated, so they can make mistakes. I think we do too much polling and we take it too seriously, and it gets reported on and talked about,
constantly.
Way more than it should be. The only poll that really matters is the election, and that isn't very accurate either. I mean, I don't know if you remember the story in the book about the Washington state gubernatorial election.
Yes. Yes.
It came so close. You know, there are limits to. There are limits to the accuracy that any election can have, any measurement can have, and an election is a kind of measurement too. I mean, in a poll you're sampling. In an election, though, you're also in a way you're sampling, because not everyone is going to go to vote. There are some people who, there are a certain number of people who support a candidate, and some fraction of them are going to actually go and show that by voting. And same thing on the other side. And votes get lost, ballot boxes, ballots get lost, ballots get spoiled. And there's a certain experimental error in the process. And the election in Washington, out of millions of votes, it was, a few dozen votes off. And they kept recounting and recounting. And I was just surprised how much money and effort they spent. Each recount, differed from each other recount by more than the margin of one of the victory of one of the governors. And, it was all more a battle of how many times could they recount until the one who wanted to win, was ahead and could have it stop, I suppose, But it all seems silly to me. Sometimes we just have to say, our election technology is not really up to getting it. If the voters are this close, we just really can't tell. Let's flip a coin. I don't think they're going to do that, though.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Wildcard line. Hey, Kate in Oregon. Go ahead, Kate.
Hi there. I got 3 points. Number one, I think intuition is a product of expertise and experience. Number two, I was a fraud investigator in Southern California for many years, and at one point we hired an expert witness from the Rand Institute, a statistician, to help us on a fraudulent auto accident claim, and he said there are no coincidences. It is only our failure to understand what's going on. And the third thing, I tend toward the karma thing, and man, I cannot tell you how many times, and even in a single week, where I'm in a situation where maybe I've screwed up and I'm facing a problem on my job, or I got something bad going on, and some random thing will come up, some intervening thing totally beyond my control, and save my behind. And this happens to me regularly. I mean, and I'm like 2-3 times a week. And I am known at the office for, I tell everybody I got great karma. It rubs off on my customers, rubs off on my friends. I don't know, the randomness and the fate, to me, it's almost like the same thing.
Well, I think, Leonard, in this particular case, we're going to have believers who believe in a higher power, call it whatever you want. And then we have people who are pure science or statistically minded, and they're going to believe what they want. And I'm not sure people will ever meet up in the middle.
Well, I agree with the caller on most of what she said. I do think that intuition is experience plus expertise. And And in terms of what the frog fellow said about coincidences, I understand what he's saying, which is that, you know, I say that coincidence, if you look at the grand scheme and you don't understand the details of what's going on, certain things of low probability that you call coincidences will happen, and they happen in a sense for no reason. But and in another sense, if you actually have the power to look at every single detail of what's going on, of course you will find a reason, and you know the reason may not be the deep reason, but there will be a reason for the coincidence. Like I met someone once in Spain like 20 years ago on a train who happened to know my father back in Poland before the war. What are the chances of that?
Yeah.
Extremely slim. But if you had traced my path, you know, that day or that week and that guy's path and through his life ever since he met my father, let's say, you would have eventually realized that, you know, because I made this decision, I went here and he went there, that we would meet.
But one would say fate drove you two together.
Well, you know, or one could say that, yeah.
There may be no right or wrong answers here. That's also another possibility, isn't there?
I tend to believe that there are, you know, right or wrong answers, but then you can't always get at them.
Let's go next to our next wildcard line. Mike in Clearwater, Florida. Hi, Mike.
Hi, George. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Before I get to my two questions, I know you do events all over the country. Are you ever going to come down and see us here in Florida?
I would love to come to Florida when it's 22 degrees in St. Louis, and maybe we'll have Tom, who works on these schedules, set it up for me.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
The guest said that, Leonard, you said you worked and wrote episodes for MacGyver. I was a huge fan of that show. I've got all 7 seasons of it on DVD. All these things that MacGyver did, and we all know that when he got painted into a corner, he would come up with some kind of homemade contraption thing to get him out of the trouble he was in. Is that real? Can that, if you have the materials that he had to work with on any given episode, can that really be reproduced, or was it written to kind of look pretty for the television show when it aired?
No, actually, MacGyver was very good about that. All the MacGyverisms that he did, at least theoretically, could work. Now, there's the randomness component. I mean, it may take you a while to get them to work. You know, one that comes to mind is, you know, burning through a rope using a Coke bottle to, you know, to bend the light or to focus the light. And of course, I'm in Seattle now. There is no light, but you know, it could be difficult to set up and to get to work. But in principle, they could all work. Yeah. And they were very good about that. And MacGyver, I have to say.
Okay, let's take a few more calls here. First time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there, Manuel.
Hello. Good morning, guys. Good morning, George. First time caller, long time listener. I just have a lot of experiences in my life growing up. My mom and father used to tell me that clairvoyancy ran in our family. As growing up, I had a lot of spiritual, I guess you could say, experiences happening to me where I would think about something and it would happen. And as I got older, I would tell my mom it's happening again. She would tell me not to dabble into witchcraft. And then I would start reading books, and then I got to, you know, start reading books about metaphysics and law of attraction. And now I'm, it's funny that George mentioned earlier, I went through a divorce 2 years ago, and I thought about someone. 2 weeks later, she comes into my life, and now we had a baby together. How coincidental can that be?
Yeah, and I don't believe in coincidences either, by the way.
Okay. So I don't know. As far as, like, it can go hand in hand, like, you know, cause and effect, like the other caller said earlier. You think of something, and how you react to it, you know, I think universal I guess you can say language is mathematics, plus also your emotions, how you react to, you know, your everyday life. They go hand in hand. So I guess I was just wondering how you feel about that. It's just all.
You want to react to that, Leonard?
I think that a very important component is how you.
Hey, Leonard, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to call you right back because your line's cracking up on me. So just you hang up right now, and then Tom will call you right back, okay? We'll do that. We probably got disconnected anyway. So let's take. I'll take a few calls just to get your thoughts and views while we rehook up with Leonard. Hey, Catherine in Portland, how are you?
Hi, George. Well, an empty hello to Leonard till he gets back.
Yeah, he'll get back soon enough.
All right. This is Catherine Portland. I have an event that appears to be psychic, but I think there's an explanation for it. I was sitting in the university park with my kids on a Sunday. Nobody around. It was a quiet, peaceful day, sunny. I was feeling great. And then suddenly I was flooded with this rage and an internal vision of beating somebody to death with a baseball bat. That was stunning. Where did that come from? I thought, well, what am I angry about? And within a few seconds, from behind me, where I couldn't have seen, came a guy with a baseball bat just stomping through the park, furious. God. It was really disturbing. And then, but, you know, I explain it with, I think rage has a smell. You know, I think we recognize the sound of a hand, a baseball bat hitting a hand, perhaps.
You know, one could say, we have a natural ability. Well, I know we have a natural ability. We're just not all trained on how to pull it out.
Yeah.
But, you know, one could say that the human body has this condition in it to be able to pull it out. We've got Leonard back on now with us. Leonard, she was talking about she was out in a park and had a feeling of rage. She wanted to beat the heck out of somebody with a baseball bat. And then, sure enough, some wacko shows up with a baseball bat.
Oh, man.
And, I mean, how does that stuff happen?
Well, again, I mean, my answer to that would be that there are, you know, millions of people out there who think of different objects, and you know, when someone shows up with it, you get a call, and when they don't, you don't get a call. So that's how those things happen.
Okay. Well, Catherine, what do you think about that?
I think that we
still there, Catherine? Well, we lost Catherine.
Oh, goodness.
No, there you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
The phones are being weird.
That's random.
It's random. I think we have more animal senses than we give ourselves credit for. I think that I could smell his rage. I had my children with me, so my protective instincts were there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's no question about it. We've got the ability.
Yeah.
We read these things. It's probably like a human antenna.
It's an animal nature of survival that we just don't pay much attention to.
But before Leonard gets back, I don't think it's random.
Oh, no, no, we won't tell him that.
No, that's not telling him.
Work involved.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know if it's because of the way I was brought up.
Yeah.
But I have this incredible feeling that fate determines most of the things that happen in our lives. Sure, once in a blue moon, you may go and buy a lottery ticket and you may win. That may be a fluke. But see, I come from the school where you were there at the right time and picked the right card and you had the right number.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's just the way I am.
You know, I don't feel alone in the universe, George. I feel somebody's with me. And if I'm just open to it, I've got a lot of something on my side, you know? I don't think it's all just random. I think there's greater forces at work. But I think a lot of things can be explained, too. You know, we just have to be in touch.
Well, and I also think, Catherine, that most people who believe in a higher power will believe in the theory of fate more so than they would random.
I agree. Yeah, because we need purpose and meaning, and being open to it allows it to happen more frequently, I think, I believe.
Indeed. Hey, Catherine, thanks. Let's go to you, Dale, in East of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi, Dale.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
I knew you weren't going to try to pronounce the name of that city.
let me guess. Marseilles, yeah. Okay, that's in Illinois,
it's though. Yeah, it's the same as the French, but we butcher it in the United States. We pronounce it correctly.
You see, it really is Marseille, isn't it?
Yes, it is, but we pronounce it correctly. Yeah. Call it Marseilles. Go on the lighter side. Is it going to be random, or is it just going to be our turn for this whole diehard Cubs fan since 1960s, see our Cubbies win a World Series?
I think it's a curse.
If I had a chance, I'd eat that goat. It would get rid of the curse.
A goat meal in Chicago for everybody.
There you go. There you go.
I mean, you Cubbies aren't that bad all the time. There's a curse out there.
Well, we've had some bad years, but I mean, yeah, we've had some decent teams, and That was in 2003. Some kid reaches out and grabs a pop-up that Maddie should have had. And, you know, it would have, you know, it'd been over and done with. I think we would have beat the Marlins that year, and it would, you know, we would have went on to the World Series. But it's just one of them things. We got a heck of a team this year. We're in first place now.
I wonder what I'll do.
Beat the heck out of your Cardinals.
You mean my Tigers. I'm from St. Louis, but I'm more of a Tiger fan.
Yeah, that's true. I take that back. Yeah.
You know, that's a boy thing.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, that happens. Okay, hey, thanks for the call. By the way, Leonard's book is truly, it is a remarkable book. Whether you believe in randomness or intuitiveness and fate, it's called The Drunkard's Walk, How Randomness Rules Our Lives. It's well worth reading. And then you can compare your own thing and your own thoughts. I mean, I've just always believed no coincidences. Fate decides what's going to happen in our lives, and they just do. Let's go west of the Rockies. Ted in Idaho. Hey, Ted, what's happening?
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I believe in coincidence, but not too many within another coincidence. Something happened to me back in the 70s. I had a good friend in high school, lost track of him for a few years. And in the meantime, I joined the Navy. Well, I was overseas and happened to be in Yokosuka, Japan. And I didn't feel like going out in the town, so I stayed on base that day. And I didn't know what to do, so I walked into the base movie theater. The movie'd already been going on. And it was dark in there, and my eyes weren't adjusted to the level of the light. And I made my way to an empty seat somewhere near the center of the theater. And I sit down, and I heard a familiar voice. And I said, "Hey, Ted, how you doing?" And it was my good friend Terry from North Illinois, that it was my best friend in high school. And I just thought, you know, coincidence is one thing. But I didn't know he was in the Navy. He could have been, it's not too odd to be in the military, but there's four or five services. And
yeah, you got about a 25% shot there.
Right. And then not only that, we're in the same city at the same day, and there's several showings at this show, and we're at the same showing, and we just both decided to be there.
See,
and I end up sitting next to him in the dark. Out of hundreds of people, it was crowded.
I think, Ted, that things like that happen for a reason. They just do. I'm going to be back in just a moment. By the way, Leonard's book is available at the major bookstores, Amazon.com. And also, you can take the link from coasttocoastam.com and go to his website as well. If you like to read about real science, and this is one of them, that's a good one. And he's trying to get Stephen Hawking on our program. So thank you, Leonard. Appreciate the interview and you coming on the program. I'll be back in a moment. We've got open lines, and if you want to share your intuitive story, go ahead and do that as well in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.